This is the 439th episode of the Bowtie Chronicles podcast, the podcast from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution that gives you everything you need to know about the Atlanta Falcons. I'm D. Orlando Ledbetter, the Falcons beat reporter for the AJC. And today we're going to preview the Falcons' upcoming game against the Carolina Panthers, who are 1-12 and have lost 6 in a row. If you're listening to us for the first time, please make sure to follow the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Bowtie Chronicles from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
All right, we're back from the early break here, and we're going to get right into some of the issues. The Falcons, 6-7, sitting atop the NFC South along with Tampa Bay and New Orleans with 4 games to go. Somebody's got to win 3 of their 4, and if anybody wins 4 of their 4, they're going to go to the playoffs. The Falcons and the Saints can't win 4 of 4 because they play each other. And then Tampa Bay has got Green Bay, Jacksonville, Carolina, and the Saints. So it can't really happen. So it's really like the race to 3. It's the race to 9 wins in the NFC South, given the Falcons had a chance to open up a 2-game lead but could not hold the Panthers in their game last Sunday. So here we go with Coach Arthur Smith on the offensive line battling through those injuries.
Being, you know, a resilient group, really, in all three phases, you know, guys stepping up and taking on their roles. And so we look guys around and affect special teams and certainly the middle part of our defense and the offensive line. I thought Ryan Newsom did a heck of a job stepping in, getting his first start, mm-hmm. in great command. He played really well. Tyler Brady will come in, see his first action. Storm continues to play well for us in that role. And Kyle Hinton came in for a series. That's the way it goes. You know, we're going to deal with something. It's our job as pros to find solutions and see a little bit of what they were doing. And, you know, obviously, what happens, you got to find ways to be successful. And those guys did a nice job.
Yeah, at one point, 4 starters were out against the Panthers with Jake Matthews and Chris Lindstrom going down in the game. They are already without Drew Dahlman at center and Caleb McGarry. The offensive line had a pretty good accounting with the backups in there. So moving forward, they're hoping to get some of those guys back. Drew Dahlman with the ankle, Caleb McGarry with the knee. Lindstrom made it back into that game. And Jake Matthews, he had his leg rolled pretty bad, but they're hoping to get him back this week also. Now, one of the big plays against Tampa Bay was the bubble screen that Carlton Davis blew up. And when you look at it, you see that a cross block was attempted. Kyle Pitts came underneath, hit the inside guy. Van Jefferson was supposed to go around him and hit Carlton Davis. That doesn't happen. They both go block the same guy. Carlton Davis gets a free run to Bijan and picks off the Ridder pass. If they make that block, there's a safety that would have had to run over and try to get Bijan one-on-one, but he would have had a big gainer if that play had worked according to plan. And here is Coach Arthur Smith on his explanation of the bubble screen that resulted in the near pick 6.
You know, it's not necessarily a clock screen. It's completely different than the first play of the game. I saw it somewhere else. Okay, it was moving to cover 3. That was a quick screen. I got it at 1. This is the one where you start two back. Nobody moved. They're playing in a, it was a good call by Todd. They roll into the field and Mace defense, and which they showed a lot of. And happens to me a little bit. This isn't blaming anybody. I just tell you what happens on those plays. Mm-hmm. You build those run alerts, and you got numbers. And certainly, we can execute that better. You get a roll corner, and you got a chance to block it, and snap may take you around a little bit and take that decision. So your little, time is a little off. So credit to them, came up, made a play, but we certainly execute and coach it better. And then, that's the one we'd all like to have back. That's what happened.
Yeah, and we also had an explanation on 92.9 the game by Falcons team announcer Dave Archer. He said that, hey, when Bijan went in motion and the Bucs didn't go with him, they left the box heavy. So the run play option was off, and he had to throw outside. And Carlton Davis made a great play, jumped the route. They missed the block. Boom, they got the ball on the 8-yard line. Probably cost them the game right there. You had other plays too, but, the two missed field goals, that play led to 7 points. You stall on the 2-yard line, that cost you 4 points. You get a field goal instead of four. So, yeah, you can go back and count up a lot of plays there that led to the loss. Here is Coach Arthur Smith on FEC progress from Desmond Ridder, who was benched earlier this season.
Probably the easiest thing to do is make an argument both ways. You could argue that the number looked pretty good, right? That's way that was his career high, is that right?
Yeah.
Career high, I thought he threw the ball really well. He was moving the pockets and stuff. He made some difficult throws from the field. He's the one that they got knocked out of Drake to kind of put us down in his scoring position. That's not an easy throw. You do see a lot of progress, even some of the small things. They'll be first to tell you whether it involves a couple plays here or there, and you got to work on it. It's continuing to grow. So he's got, 15 starts, give or take. Six times out of those 15. We had a one ball, took this position late in the game, the score is to win or to lead. So they're all on progress, but we evaluate everything every day.
Well, there he is, Coach Arthur Smith. He did note that Ridder had 347 yards. And myself and Michael Cunningham like to point out the empty yards, a bunch of yards to nowhere, like the heave at the end of the game that doesn't get in the end zone. That was yards to nowhere. Then you get a lot of yards on the flip to Bijan. He gets 32, I think, on that. You need the 2 yards down at the end zone where he misses Bijan, just throws a rocket ball out there when he could have rolled out and dumped it on him, made a big quarterback play. So, yeah, he had 347 yards, but they were to nowhere, not making up points for you. And the biggest throw was that one he missed that resulted and led to a field goal from the 2-yard line, a 20-yard field goal. Here is Coach Arthur Smith on the Carolina Panthers.
I'm sure that they feel pretty good about the way they ran the ball yesterday. Obviously, looking at some of the things that may have hurt us yesterday, that would be something we've got to shut down. They kind of changed a little bit the style, from what they were doing Buddy. Defensively, they were playing solid. I think they're bound, and if there's anybody inside, we've got to block him. It'll start there. We got work cut out for us. It's the NFL. We all know that. Now this is what happens when we get this is the number court being in the season. So we'll be make sure we play really well and eliminate the couple plays and stop this.
The Falcons also, have to figure out how they're going to move on from a tough loss like this. Here's what Calais Campbell said about moving on from the loss to the Bucs.
Once it's over and done with, you can't really do anything about it. You learn from it. But this game, is over and done with. You can't let it beat you twice. You can't dwell on, bad plays or bad games or, losses. Everything up until this point really doesn't matter anymore. It really only matters is what we do going forward. So it's a next play mentality. We have it during the game and you have it, after the game's over too. So now it's our next game, And this game's going to be as big as any other. So, we got to come with everything we got and go find a way to get a win on the road.
All right, that's Calais Campbell. He's the veteran voice of reason. Running back Bijan Robinson. Here he is on the importance of these last four games.
We know that, you know, we got to, you know, these last four games is going to be, you know, super important, super vital. You know, we're trying to win every single one of them so we can go and go to the playoffs. So obviously we got to take them one game at a time. But, you know, we know that these last four games are going to be, you know, Super Bowl games for us.
All right. Last four games of Super Bowl. Usually they do the one game at a time thing, but they know what's up against, what they're up against, that they need to make a run here. The Falcons haven't won more than two games in a row since 2019. So we're either about to see some unprecedented Falcon play, or we're going to see the Falcons do a 2-2 Falcon split and miss the playoffs at 8-9. Something like that is in the offerings for the 2023 Falcons. Now, will that be progress? 7-10 the first 2 years, then you go 8-9. Is that progress? Is that enough progress? You know, they certainly got some bad losses, but we don't want to get into that right now. Let's move on and hear from center Ryan Nuzel, who took over for Drew Dahlman against the Buccaneers.
It went well out there. It was good just out there getting a rhythm and being able to move the ball.
When did you kind of know that you might have to go?
The plan was just to work out Drew pregame, see how he was feeling, and if he was good, he would have played.
Okay. And so then, what, an hour before kickoff, you're like, okay. So.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, it's always just the part of the job, too. Like, you always got to be ready to play whenever. Mm-hmm. So just having that mindset, was just ready to go, whether he was able to go or not.
And, you know, how'd you feel it went? You know, Coach said he had a good film review.
Yeah, it went well out there. Obviously, there's some issues sometimes, but we're able to carve through it and do a lot of good things out there.
Okay, and what worked for you all in the fourth quarter? Looked like y'all been working through some stuff, then you got moving, you know, to take the lead and so forth.
Yeah, it started getting our groove, and, I mean, we're – like, especially the O-line, really well-conditioned team. So I felt like that really helped us in the fourth as well, just to keep it moving and making sure we just keep pressing.
And what does it say about the fact that, you know, before they said that all of y'all are starters, so I try not to call y'all backups. But you have four, you know, different starters in there taking the starters' places.
Yeah, I mean, it's always good. Like, that's one thing. If somebody goes down, you never want to be able to kind of limit the offense or miss a step, but it's good that everyone was able to get up there and just keep it going.
And so did you like look at yourself like, oh, hey, Kyle, I haven't seen you in a while, or, you know, because he came in for Chris there for one stick.
Yeah, it definitely was. I mean, just look over and it's just someone else in there, but I mean, it was just good being out there and be able to play.
Okay, and then how do y'all translate the yards to getting into the end zone? 400-yard game.
Yeah, I mean, just control what we control and just try to limit the mistakes. Like, we're able to get the yards and just got to capitalize.
What do you remember the Carolina game so far ago? But how important is this game for the team and the Panthers that you all are facing on Sunday?
Yeah, I mean, get back on track. I mean, every game is important at this point of the year. And then, I mean, it's just gonna be a battle up front. They have a good D line. It's going to be a good one.
Also against the Buccaneers, the Falcons took on water along the defensive line. Also, Kentavious Street went down with a pectoral muscle. They don't want to say he's out for the year, but we know based on, you know, if it's a pectoral tear, he's done. Now, what the Falcons did 1 year was they wouldn't say Desmond Trufant had a pec injury. That way the team had to prepare for if he was going to play, they just called it a shoulder. And, you know, we knew he had a pec, but it wasn't on the record. So, you know, they might be doing the same thing here with Street. But he's out. And one of the gentlemen who got some action was Mr. Travis Bell from Kennesaw State, making his NFL debut against the Buccaneers.
yesterday. What was that like?
It was good, man. You know, I was nervous at first, but you know, after that first snap, you know, I kind of settled down and went out there playing football.
Mm-hmm. And how was it like? You know, being in the trenches, getting a little extended time and so forth.
It was a great experience. It's something that I needed, you know. The game kind of started slowing down, you know. The more reps I got, started to slow down for me, you know.
And what's been the biggest thing since the trade from the Bears to here?
However,
they picked you up off the team.
Just adjusting to the scheme, you know, like the form. I meant the just how I'm playing blocks and stuff like that on defense now. So in Chicago, it was different. You know, it was more vertical. Mm. But now I'm more flat, read and react type.
All right, now we're going to take a break. We've heard from Coach Arthur Smith, Calais Campbell, Bijan Robinson, Ryan Nuzel, and Travis Bell of the Atlanta Falcons. This is the Bowtie Chronicles from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
In Atlanta, one voice has stood out for over four decades. An AJC original, The Monica Pearson Show.
Let's talk about how you got to ESPN.
Revealing interviews.
You are known as America's doctor, but I want to know who you were before that.
When you have a different name, you have different color skin, it can be tough.
With Atlanta's most famous faces as you've never seen them before.
I'm telling my story. This is the American dream.
The Monica Pearson Show, streaming now on AJC.com.
All right, we're back here at the 439th episode of the Bowtie Chronicles podcast. Everything you need to know about the Atlanta Falcons. Before we move on to our tale of the tape and some notes on the Carolina Panthers and the series history, let me tell you about this special offer that the Atlanta Journal-Constitution has for our podcast listeners. If you subscribe today, you can get 3 months of unlimited digital access for just 99 cents. That's all of our sports coverage, politics, breaking news, investigations, food and dining, and so much more on AJC.com. Plus, you get access to our e-paper and our assortment of newsletters. So join our community by going to subscribe.AJC.com/podcast. That's subscribe.AJC.com/podcast so you always know what's really going on. All right, now we want to get here to the breakdown of the tail of the tape for the Carolina Panthers and the Falcons. The Falcons, in the offensive category, they have 2 of 4 in the top 16 in the league. And on defense, they have 3 of 4 of our main categories. And, you know, offensively, total yards, they're 15th, rushing yards, 6th in the league, 132.2. Defensively, their numbers are improving here out after the bye week. The points is the only thing that's under the our 16 line. They are 21st in points allowed, 20.7. Hadn't given up a touchdown for 9 quarters going into the Buccaneers game. Rashad White scored on that 31-yard score to break that streak. But overall, they're giving up 313.9 yards, which is 11th, 110.9 rushing, which is 15th, and 203 yards passing, which is 9th in the league. So you have a top 10 defense in pass defense and total yards, and a top 15, top half of the league all together, except for in points. And the Panthers don't do anything well. That's why Frank Reich got fired. And they overestimated their talent. I think the owners up there, you know, flipping coaches in and out. Ron Rivera ran him out because he wanted his own guy. Paid Matt Rhule a lot of money. That didn't work out. Then he brought in Frank Reich and didn't like how that was going, fired him. Should have just kept Steve Wilkes. But that didn't happen, and Coach Wilkes is off doing his thing. So, but the Panthers' offense, they got the quarterback. They signed some receivers and a running back, but failed to do anything with the line. So, you know, you got to win up front, and they haven't done it. Thusly, their offense is ranked 30th in overall yards, 21st in rushing, 31st in passing, and 30th in points. The one thing they've been trying to do is run the football in the last two games. Now, they defensively, they're tough up front. Derrick Brown is a one-man wrecking crew, and Brian Burns is coming off the edge. Okay, Frank Louvat, linebacker, solid. And in the secondary, they got three safeties they like to play. Von Bell, Xavier Woods, and Jeremy Chin. They also have a fine young corner and J.C. Horn, Joe Horn's son. So defensively, they are number four. They're giving up only 298.4 a game, and they are third in pass defense, 175.4. They're 22nd in run defense, giving up 123 yards a game. So that's the tell of the tape. Falcons got to run the ball against the 22nd run defense and get out of there. Don't need to get cute like last week and throw 40 times a game. I know they didn't want to run into the loaded box that Tampa Bay had, but now Carolina's going to load it up too, and you got to figure out how to crease them. But no need to be throwing. It's supposed to be weather too, so I don't think they're going to try to outsmart them and throw it around 40 times up there. Now, they give up 26.2 points, 31st in the league. Only Washington gives up more points at 30.4. All right, that's our tale of the tape. We'll just do our fly around the NFC South. Tampa Bay 6-5, Atlanta 6-5, New Orleans 6-3, Carolina 1-2. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are at Green Bay, who got beat on Monday Night Football by Tommy DeVito and the Giants. The Falcons are at Carolina. The Saints will host Tommy DeVito and those same Giants, see if they can get another one down in New Orleans this week. And then, of course, Carolina will host the Falcons at 1 o'clock. That's your deal with the NFC South. Now, the Panthers, if they're going to beat the Falcons, they're going to load it up and run the ball, kind of like they did last year with Coach Wilkes up there. But Chuba Hubbard's the main rusher. Miles Sanders, running back signing free agent, is also running the ball. He's got 115 carries for 399 and one touchdown. Chuba Hubbard's got 166 for 644 and four touchdowns. And quarterback Bryce Young has ran 28 times for 201. Now, when they do throw it, Adam Thielen is their guy. DJ Chark has 25 catches. Jonathan Mingo, the rookie, has 36. Thielen has 85 catches for 827 and four touchdowns. Chark has three touchdowns. And when they get in the red zone, they like to go to tight end Tommy Tribble. He has 14 catches, but three touchdowns. And Bryce Young, that one win is Bryce Young against the Houston Texans. So Bryce got, he can say, I beat C.J. Stroud in our rookie years, although C.J. Stroud's having a much better season. Now, Bryce Young is 244 of 417, 58.5%, 2,192 yards passing, 9 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. He has a 70.9 passer rating. On the defensive side of the ball, we mentioned some of the leaders. Derrick Brown from here, he's a former AJC Super 11. Lanier High School out in Gwinnett, played at Auburn. 74 tackles, 6 tackles for loss. Jeremy Chin is healthy now. He's played 7 games, started 7, played in 8. And, of course, Brian Burns leads the way with 6 sacks for the Panthers. A lot of people want him to come to Atlanta. He's not happy up there. The Falcons need a pass rush. We'll see how that goes. Now, last week against the Saints, they started three safeties, Chin, Von Bell, and Xavier Woods, and a big nickel. Probably can do the same against the Falcons and try to stop the run that way. Special teams-wise, punter's Johnny Hecker. Kicker is Eddie Pinero. Punt returner, Amir Smith Marset. And he returned against the Saints. And then the kickoff returner against the Saints in their last game was Raheem Blackshear. So those are your key members on offense, defense, and special teams for New Orleans. And just stat-wise from that last game against the Saints, Derek Brown had 10 tackles against the Saints. J.C. Horn, the cornerback, had 7. Von Bell, 6. Xavier Woods, 6. And as a group, they had 1 sack and 6 quarterback hits in that game where they lost 28-6 to the New Orleans Saints. This is a very important game for the Atlanta Falcons. They cannot go up there and stub their toe. They cannot look past the Carolina Panthers, who are 1-12. They have to get the job done if they are a legitimate contender for the NFC South title. So with that, we're going to ask you to take care and have a great rest of your week.
Hip hop is a product of black people. It's a product of black song and celebration.
The Atlanta Journal-Constitution presents
hip hop's most pulled elements are pulled from the South.
A Southern hip hop story.
We always go back to that moment of the Source Awards.
Everybody wants your rhythm, but they don't want your blues.
The biggest names in hip hop.
Atlanta is still the mecca for hip hop.
50 years.
No one can deny.
One film.
The power of the South now.
The South got something to say. Streaming now at AJC.com/hip hop.
The AJC's trusted veteran political voices, Greg Bluestein, Patricia Murphy, Tia Mitchell, and Bill Nigut, are the essential source for Georgia politics. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution's Politically Georgia. Sign up for the newsletter, download the podcast, subscribe to the AJC.